In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We've experienced the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus who gave his life for us on the cross, Jesus who bore our wounds and carried our infirmities, and Jesus who conquered sin and death and the devil through his cross, death, and resurrection. Today I'm looking at Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation means to take the veil off, to take the veil off, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Who is John? This is the evangelist John that wrote the fourth gospel, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of these things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and hears the words of this prophecy. There is a beatitude. Blessed is the person who reads and hears the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand, the Kairos time, the time when Jesus Christ will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. John, to the seven churches, he's writing to seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him who is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Jesus that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him, Jesus, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we hear from the book of Revelation all about this Jesus who died and who rose, who bled and who gave his life for us, for you and for me. These seven churches are in Asia. I want to tell you something about these seven churches. Jesus warns them to change, and if they don't change, he's going to take the lampstand, which is the church, off and blow it out. All these seven churches are Muslim places in 2013. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, that's Jesus, and they also that pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am, that's his name, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Oh, so we see Jesus identifies himself as the Almighty, the Alpha, the first, the Omega, the last, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Which is present. Which was is in the past from all eternity. And which is to come is the future. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Remember what Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. So John is bearing tribulation for the sake of Jesus. I, John, who also am your brother and companion. Companion means to eat bread with. In tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was on the isle that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember, he got deported to Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ because he proclaimed Jesus Christ. He was sent off to Patmos. I was in the Spirit. I love that. I'll never forget Father Randall when he read that so many times. I was in the Spirit, and he had no idea what it meant until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that Sunday, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned, and I see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the breast with golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. John is seeing Jesus. Oh, let me tell you, I remember when I prayed with someone named Sean. Oh, Sean was going to jail, and he was coming to my house for a blessing. He really didn't want to come. His mother sent him. And Sean came to me, and I said, Sean, what's happening in your life? He says, everything is wonderful. Well, I knew he was lying. He was off to jail. I said, how are you doing with your new child? Oh, it's wonderful. I have no problems. So I said, Sean, can I pray with you? He said, no. I said, well, let me bless you. And that's all I did was to bless him, and he was on the floor, and his eyes were moving as they were closed, and I saw something happening. The presence of God was all around him. He was being inundated by the presence of God. And, you know, when I finally woke him up, I said, what did you see, Sean? He said, he couldn't talk. I said, did you see Jesus? And he said, how do you know? I said, well, what did he look like? He said, nothing like I thought. He had skin that was olive complexion, and his hair was as white as wool, just like we've just heard in the book of Revelation. And you are talking about a person who doesn't read the Bible. This is what he saw. He said, and you know, I was in a place where there were grapefruit that had so much life, and they were so big. I couldn't tell you how big they were, and how beautiful the grass was, and how beautiful this person was. I said, well, who was the person? He said, it was Jesus. I said, did he speak to you? He said, yes. I said, what did he say? He said, Sean, I love you. I said, what did you say? He said, Jesus, I love you. Then I said, what else did you say? He held out his arms to me, and I ran into his arms. I said, what happened next? He said, you woke me up. I said, Sean, it was more than a dream. What you saw was a bit of heaven, and you saw Jesus Christ himself, even as he is portrayed in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel. You know, months later, he said, that was just a dream. I said, no, I would stake my life on it, that he had a vision of Jesus, and now he was denying it. But you know what? I couldn't deny it, because the presence of God was so thick in that house that day when Sean was under the power, when he was in the Spirit. The presence of God was so thick that day. Then, you know, it reminds me of someone else that we prayed with, another John. This John had a stroke. He was just a kid, like just 40, and his arm wouldn't move. And one night we were there, and Alexis's mother got the scripture of the man with the withered arm. And when she read it out loud, I said, John, stretch out your arm. And he couldn't do that. He stretched out his arm. He started shaking. He was on the floor because he couldn't do it, but he stretched out his arm. And, oh, we had him walking that night, and his arm was moving. It was just beautiful. But you know what? He lost the healing. Because when he went to the doctor and the physical therapist, said, that's impossible. And the whole church saw it. That, you see, this is what they saw. John's arm was healed. But you see, I said, go to, not counseling, but go to therapy. But don't, I didn't say, don't let anyone convince you it didn't happen. Little did I know that the therapist was trying to, that's impossible, the therapist said. Well, John lost his healing. But we know, the people who saw it, we know what happened. We saw John's arm move. This was the power of God. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. That's the seven churches. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like a son of man, that's Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with the golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like snow, the whiteness of the snow. And his eyes were like the flames of fire. I said to Sean, what did Jesus do? He said, he looked at me. He looked at me, my Lord, with those loving eyes. I tell you, and his feet were like fine brass as they burned in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Now the seven stars are the seven angels. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shines in its strength. That's at noon. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for everyone. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall come hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which I saw in his right hand were the seven angels. The seven golden candlesticks were the seven churches. And the candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let me just tell you this. When Jesus died, he descended into Sheol. He took from Satan the keys of life and death. And he pulled Adam and Eve and the prophets up out of the mire. And he brought them with himself. He descended into Sheol. One translation is he descended into hell. But Sheol is the place of the shadows. That's where Adam and Eve were. That's where all those who had gone before Jesus' death and resurrection, they were in Sheol. And Jesus went to get them out of the place. He says, we're leaving this joint today. And he took them by the hand, not only Adam and Eve, but the prophets and all those who were there. I'm looking now at the 24th chapter of St. Luke. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. Who are they? These are the holy women, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Why was the stone rolled away from the sepulchre? To let Jesus out? No. To let the women in. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, it is very interesting because the enemies of Jesus have more faith than the followers of Jesus. The enemies of Jesus put soldiers at the tomb so that if he escaped, they would get him. The enemies of Jesus had more faith than the followers of Jesus. The soldiers didn't have any faith either. They just did it because they were told to guard the tomb. And they entered in, the holy women, and found not the body of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why do you seek the living one among the dead? That's a very good question. Why do you seek life in a casino? Why do you seek life in a barroom? Why do you seek life stealing? Why do you seek the living one? Because everyone seeks the living one. We have all been made for Jesus. But you see, there is a thirst and a hunger that he gives us. I said to the people on Easter, I said, you know why you people, you know, you good people don't come every week? I said, because you're not hungry. You don't know that you're hungry for God. I said, I'm desperate for God. I am desperate for Jesus. I need to be here. You don't even know how hungry you are. And when it was time for us to renew our baptismal vows, we prayed for a hunger and a thirst, for God to give us that hunger and thirst, that we would search for him, that we would find him, that we would give him our lives. I'm going to tell you that even people that listen to me on radio, you haven't been to confession, you haven't been to Holy Communion. Let me tell you this. You have a hunger for God, but you've got to sacramentalize it. Make sure you go and confess your sins. Make sure you come to the Eucharist. Make sure that you're looking for Jesus. Whom do you seek? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. That's what was said in the garden. Whom do you seek? We seek Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am. And you know what happened when he said, I am, the name of God? They all fell back. They all fell back. They couldn't stand under the power of God. This was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why do you seek the living one among the dead? That's a good question. He is not here. You're not going to find him at a strip joint. You're not going to find him scratching out those numbers. You're not going to find him there. You're going to find him in the scriptures. You're going to find him in the church. You're going to find him in Christians. And he's going to come because he wants to come. If you would just take one step toward him, it is by grace that you can take that step, and he will make himself be found, because that's who he is. He doesn't want to be a stranger to you. He wants to be yours. He wants you to be his. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was still with you in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. Now, I'm telling you, these are the women. Women could not be witnesses in the courts during these days. But the first one Jesus shows the empty tomb to are women. And he calls them to go and tell the apostles that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is risen. What do they think? They think this is a foolish group of women. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre with all these unto the 11 and the rest. And Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women, they were with him and told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter. So Peter must have had a little faith, and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at which has just come to pass. Let me tell you that this Jesus is 2,000 years ahead of himself. He commits the first witness of the resurrection to women. Women were seen as property. They could not witness in the courts. But Jesus Christ shows women that the tomb is empty. You know why? Because the women had love. The women had love. When we see John's gospel, Mary Magdalene is in the garden. Mary Magdalene is in the garden, and she sees Jesus. The only thing he needs to say is Mary, and she recognizes his voice. And when she recognizes his voice, she wants to touch him. And he says, "Don't touch me. I have not yet gone to my Father, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." But yet 8 days later, he says to Thomas, "Touch my wounds." You see, after he came to visit Mary Magdalene, because love beckoned him, he ascended into heaven and was glorified by the Father, and then came back for 40 days preaching the kingdom of God. But Mary Magdalene's love drew Jesus to herself. It was like Jesus made a side trip for Mary Magdalene. She had come to the tomb. She was weeping. This was the woman who had been possessed with 7 demons. And I tell you, love always brings Jesus. Not necessarily an office of the priest, but love always brings Jesus. If the priest is in love with Jesus, love brings Jesus, not offices. He doesn't usually show himself to offices. Even in these beautiful apparitions which we believe in, like Fatima, God shows himself to wee little children, peasant kids. You see, he doesn't show himself to the clerics. He doesn't show himself to the bishops, but he shows himself to these poor little kids. He shows his mother to these poor little kids, and they tell the story. And they tell a story that cannot be denied because they don't know very much, and the Blessed Mother tells them so many things. Okay, I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray for a hunger and a thirst. That's what we're going to pray for. Lord Jesus, give me personally a hunger and a thirst for you. Give me a hunger and a thirst for your word. Give me a hunger and a thirst for the Holy Spirit. You promised us, Lord, that you would give us living water if we believed. Lord, we believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that you died and you were crucified and you were buried and you rose from the dead. Oh, Jesus, we're praying for a hunger and a thirst. Oh, how we need that hunger and that thirst, because you see, Lord, without that hunger, without that thirst, we're just a churchgoers, or we don't go to church. I tell you, that hunger and that thirst is what we need, Lord. There was somebody in our parish that came the first time for the Triduum, and he came every single night. You know, I went up to him and I said, "I'm really glad you were here the 3 nights." He had never come before. I've been in this parish 18 times we celebrated the Sacred Triduum. And this is the first time he came. And you know why? Because he's been reading the Bible. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that this hunger and thirst is given to people. It's wonderful that people finally come and say, "You know, I need Jesus." I don't know what you need today. I don't need $1,000. I need Jesus. I need him to come and to be Jesus to me. Jesus, be Jesus to me. Jesus, be Jesus to me. That's what you need. Jesus, be Jesus to me. Give me a hunger. Give me a thirst after you. Help me to seek you like Mary Magdalene. You did not show yourself to Peter first. You showed yourself to Mary Magdalene first. Love always draws the risen Lord. You did not show yourself even to John first. You showed yourself to Mary Magdalene first. Love always draws Jesus to oneself. So we ask, Lord, for that love that will draw Jesus to us. We ask for that thirst that says, I want more of the living water. I want more of the power of God. I want more of the gospel. I want more of Jesus. And we ask it in faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. I do thank you for listening. We celebrate Easter for 50 days now, that the Lord has been raised to life and has showed himself to Peter. And you know what? You can go on to PayPal and you can leave a donation. And the address is inseason.net. And you can click on to PayPal and leave a donation. We'd be very grateful. Inseason.net. Or you can go to inseason.net and see television programs and radio programs, and you can listen to your heart's content. I received a letter from a woman in Poland stating, oh, how I listen to what you have to say. I only have 2 days that I can do it. I think she said Tuesday and Thursday or Monday and Thursday. She said, oh, but I listen to what you have to say. And she sent me $100 in American money. You know, this woman, I think her name is Martha, this woman just so grateful to hear the word of God. She says, we don't hear God's word very often here, but I come and I listen and I get instructed and I find Jesus. And she wrote all those things. Again, the address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, you do it, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.